Greetings, everybody. Don't you wish that God had put in the Bible a calendar that explained the timelines of this whole world? Don't you wish somewhere you could open up the Bible and say, man, why didn't you put a timeline so we'd know everything that's going on, when things are going to happen, when we're out of here? Wouldn't that be great? I got some news for you, my friend. God did. In today's program, we're going to talk about God's prophetic calendar. And it's in the Bible. So I want you to go find your Bible, get the dust off it, blow the dust off, and get ready, because when we come back, Doc and I are going to show you a calendar in this book right here, in the King James Bible, that shows the beginning from the end. It's going to tell it all. And you're going to want to see this. You're going to want to hear this. This is going to help you. I'm not saying it's going to tell you when the rapture is, because it's not that simple. If God wanted us to know the exact day and moment, God would have told us, but he hasn't. But he's told us more than you think he has. And we're going to share that calendar with you in today's program. So as soon as the music is over, we'll be back. Stand by. Greetings, everybody. Greetings, greetings, greetings. We are glad to have you today. And this is going to be an exciting program. And we're going to discuss a calendar, God's prophetic calendar. It don't get any better than that. That sure beats the calendar you got hanging on your wall right now. God has in the Bible a calendar that I did not understand until, 2007, 2008, somewhere in there. Doc, I went to Bible college. I have a bachelor's degree. When I graduated, 1991, I think it was, somewhere way back when Lassie was still alive, but I did not know that there were seven feasts in the Bible.
Right.
And I'm not upset with my caller, not upset. It just wasn't, prophecy wasn't their thing. Mm-hmm. It was quite a few years later when I began to dig and understand these things. And
well, that's what Bible college ought to be. It's to help you learn how to study.
That's right. Yeah.
Because it's a lifelong study time.
Yeah. And so it was a great day in my life when I discovered Leviticus chapter 23.
Oh, yes.
Because that's where the whole story is told in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. I don't understand our guys that think the Old Testament's not for us. The Old Testament's, the New Testament did not replace it.
No.
Christ said, I didn't come to end the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. And the Old Testament laws are very important to our understanding of things.
Mm-hmm. And the three major facets of the law and those kind of things, yes.
Yeah. And, of course, moral law, we're still under moral law. God doesn't want us to steal. God doesn't want us to commit adultery.
Well, the moral law actually was in existence before there was a written law.
Yeah. And, Galatians tells us the law was our schoolmaster. Now, he's talking our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ.
Yes.
In other words, the law was given, and God knew we couldn't keep the law. Nobody can perfectly keep the law. So what that does is that makes you see yourself lost.
Well, Paul said, sin was already there. But once we had the law, then we knew what that sin was and the consequences, penalties of it.
And the only way to be saved is to see yourself the way God sees you in your sinful condition, lost.
Yes.
And that's what conviction is about. God brings conviction upon you, and he draws you to realize, I'm guilty. I'm no good. I can't enter into heaven. I'm a sinner.
Yes.
And then you're presented with the plan of salvation that Christ paid your sin.
When it says Christ nailed that law to the cross, it was talking about that area of man's sin.
Yeah.
Because the law itself had to do primarily with Israel, all of the laws and things that they were to keep, 613 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that had to do with, if you keep these laws, then you can live at peace in your land. You don't keep these laws, then I'll remove you from the land. And we have a Bible with history of those things.
Yeah, of course, people need to realize Israel then was what the church is today. They were the institution of the gospel and spreading redemption around the world.
And all the ceremonial laws are a picture and type of what Jesus would accomplish and fulfill in the future.
Yeah.
And but anyway, when Jesus came, he not only lived. What people don't realize is that all of Jesus' ministry was under the Old Testament law.
Yeah.
He lived it to the T, right down to the sacrifice, to the days of feasts, and all of that.
Yeah.
And but when he died on the cross, that temple veil was rent in twain.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Matthew chapter 1 is not the beginning of the New Testament. The New Testament begins at his death.
Because when you get to the book of Hebrews, Paul tells us that a testament only goes into force when the tester has died.
Yeah, the death of the testator.
So at the death of Christ, that Old Testament law in all of those rigidness was accomplished in Christ. And from that point forward, we now are at rest because Christ is our Sabbath, our day of our rest.
Now, I'm going to read a verse or two here in Leviticus chapter 23. And I'm going to ask my wife, the only slide I'm going to need for this show, Mr. Goodwin, is the prophecy puzzle conference thing that I'm going to have you put up. So if you're ready for that, why don't you put that up? And when we get done with that, I'll come to Leviticus 23. So there we go. The prophecy puzzle is a book that I wrote, and I have one right here in front of me. It's one of my newest books. And I believe the most important book of all the 20-plus books that I've written, I believe this is the most important book I've written. All of my other books have a part to play in this book. It puts it all together like a puzzle. Next week on the program, we're going to talk about the prophecy puzzle. We're going to talk about the four categories of prophecy, and I can't wait to share that with you all. It's going to be such a help to your understanding of prophecy. And so that'll be next week. But what I wanted to say while she has that up, I am doing prophecy conferences concerning the prophecy puzzle. I can do a all-day Sunday. I can do a one-day. I can do a multi-day, whatever you can handle, whatever your church can handle. If you want to make a conference out of it, invite other churches, that's fine. So contact me if you're interested in getting in learning about the prophecy puzzle, how to put this thing together. Those of you that have the book already, I've had a lot of good reviews. A lot of people said this has really helped them in their understanding of putting the prophecy thing together. So next week we'll talk about that. And if you want to contact me, the phone number comes up all the time up back here. Phone number, email, whatever. Get a hold of me. I'd love to talk with you about scheduling something at your church. All right, so let's jump into Leviticus. I keep wanting to say Matthew. Leviticus 23. You know, a lot of people won't read Leviticus. They won't read Numbers. So it's boring to some people.
To some.
It's not boring when you begin to understand what all this stuff's about and the symbolism that goes with it. Chapter 23 starts out, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying..." Now, they've just left Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. And by now, I'm sure they're wandering around for the 40 years in the desert there. "And speak unto the children of Israel, saying to them, concerning the feast of the Lord." There it is, the feast of the Lord. Notice, they're not the Jews' feast. We call them the Jewish feast. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's not quite accurate. They're the feast of the Lord that he gave unto them.
Mm-hmm.
"And the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations." Now, there's a big word, convocations.
Right.
That's one of your kind of words, Doc. Four syllables.
Yeah.
And it's a very simple word. It simply means assemblies.
An assembly called together.
It's kind of like a church, an assembly of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big word, convocation. So don't let that big word hurt you. If you got a pen, you might want to write in the bottom of your Bible, convocation. Assembly. That's all it is. And in fact, I have it right here in the bottom of my Bible. And so he says, "Concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations or assemblies, even these are my feasts." Now, let me say this. There are seven of these feasts mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
In Levit- now, there's some other feasts in the Bible that are not part of this. You got to remember. There's the Feast of Purim,
yeah,
by the way.
Which they're actually going on right now, yeah, in Israel at the time
and,
of this recording.
And that has nothing to do with the seven feasts.
Mm-hmm. Right, and Hanukkah doesn't either.
Right, and Hanukkah is something else as well. And so there are other feasts, but there are seven specific feasts,
yes,
that all go together, and they make up God's prophetic calendar. The whole story of redemption is told in these seven,
yeah,
feasts. The whole whole journeys of the Christian life is in this passage. It really is. And in fact, one of the chapters in the puzzle book and some of my other books as well, The Mystery of the Jubilee, I believe, talks about, I have a chapter called The Journeys of the Christian Life, where I talk just about that. And I explain that you can take your life from Exodus, you know, the Passover, mm-hmm, lamb. That's where it all begins.
That's where your Christian journey begins.
And then the journey goes from there. You got unleavened bread. That means getting sin out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You got first fruits, and that's crossing the Red Sea, getting into the church. By the way, Stephen called them the church in the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
When they crossed the, right, Red Sea, they were not a church on the other side of the Red Sea. They, right, were a church when they crossed,
right,
to the other side. And interesting, you know, the church, yeah, in the wilderness. And Moses is the pastor. And
true.
What do? They go south. They don't go to the Promised Land. They go south to the Mount Horeb. Moses goes up, gets the law, brings them down. Of course, you got what happened there with they made that god, and they made that statue of gold there,
right,
and 3,000 people are going to die, about 3,000, yep, people. And that happens on Pentecost, by the way. So 40 days after they cross the Red Sea is Pentecost. And which is 50 days. It's 50 days, actually,
right,
50 days. And so all these things happen on these feast days. And these are the first mention of these feast days, Pentecost. And then so in the Bible here, You go down to verse 5. In verse 4, these are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. Verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's talking about the month we call Nisan, but it's also more accurately called the month of Abib.
Yes.
Meaning
until
harvest.
Until they went into the captivity, that's what it was called.
That's right.
Abib.
And then, and when they were in captivity outside of Israel, no,
right,
temple, no,
right,
no sacrifices, they called it Nisan. That was the, mm-hmm, kind of the Gentile name.
And it's still called that today.
Yeah. And but the Abib was the name given to it because it had to do with the ripeness of the barley,
yeah,
harvest. And that's what the harvest. By the way, the three harvests revolve around these seven feasts as well. So it's really amazing.
That's because a lot of people don't maybe realize, but the greater majority of your Bible is written in agricultural terminology.
Yeah. It's a farmer's book.
It is a farmer's book.
This is the
book.
Real farmer's almanac.
That's right
here.
Amen.
And it is. And if you don't understand some principles about farming.
And that's one of the reasons I'll never forget pastoring in Dallas. I would use terminology because I grew up on a farm. And I would use terminologies that I thought was very understandable while I was preaching. And I would have many of those people who grew up on the concrete sidewalks all their life, they had no idea what I was talking about.
Well, if you'd have talked about oil, they'd have understood oil down there in Texas. But you're right. You're talking about, yeah, well, the first fruits of the crop. What,
yeah,
what does that mean to,
right,
somebody that doesn't farm? Mm-hmm. And by the way, it doesn't mean a lot today. Today, they wipe off the whole field.
It's because everything in our world today is genetically altered. But if you're planting a non-GMO seed, you're going to have some that ripen quicker than others.
Yeah.
But there's always a early harvest, a main harvest, and always a gleanings harvest.
Yeah. And in Bible days, they were commanded to have the gleanings.
Yes.
On purpose, they left the corners of the field.
Yeah.
They didn't cut that. And they let the poor and the widows come in freely and take what they could.
It was for your strangers and your widows to be. God had a welfare program, but it still required work.
And we see that in the book of Ruth.
Yes.
We see her gleaning,
mm-hmm,
beginning at the barley harvest.
Yes.
Did you know she gleans all the way to the Pentecost time?
All
the
way
harvest.
From barley all the way through wheat harvest.
Yeah. And of course, in the fall would be the fruit harvest.
Yes.
And so the three harvests, they revolve around these seven feasts. But there are also three phases to a harvest that
That's
you
right.
just mentioned. You got the first fruits, that was given to God. The first fruits of the barley was waved for the Lord. Then you got your main harvest, where that's your main gathering up of the crop. And then the gleanings, which could go on for weeks and weeks.
That's why the Bible says Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept. We, at the rapture, are the main harvest. And then I believe there's going to be the gleanings harvest.
There has to be, because there are going to be people who die during the tribulation. What happens to their body? Does it immediately evaporate and go to heaven?
No. Nope.
It lays in the street, or they bury it. We know they leave the two witnesses dead for 3.5 days on the street.
Yep.
And so there has to be a way for the saved during the tribulation who are martyred or they die, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a way to capture their body. And I believe that's the gleanings. I believe when he comes on the white horse that gleanings takes place.
Some believe that the gleanings is going to be at the end of the millennial reign. There has to be something there that is different, because God never has a judgment that is the same on lost and saved.
Right.
They're always separate.
Yeah. And, of course, the judgment's not on our body anyway, so that doesn't matter. But there's got to be a way for the body.
The folks that are born physically during the millennial reign that do become genuine believers, they're not going to have the same judgment as those at the Great White Throne Judgment.
Yeah, and they're not going to have, at that moment, they're not going to have the same body we have.
But nope.
They're going to have a physical body now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's lots to think.
There are
a lot
of thoughts and a lot of things, but...
And I don't know if anybody's got it all completely figured out, but...
No.
So these seven feasts begins with, if you have a pen, you might want to write in verse 1. Verse 1 is the first feast. It is Passover. By the way, that's where it all begins. That's the blood being applied to the doorpost of your heart. That's salvation. That's where it all begins. If you don't get this one, none of these others are going to matter. If you miss the blood, for instance, Pharaoh and his army tried to follow them across the Red Sea.
Yep.
Well, that's feast number 3. Feast number 1 is the blood, apply that salvation. Right. Feast number 2 is getting right with him, getting junk out of my life, throwing the beer down the sink and throwing the whiskey down the sink. And that's unleavened bread. That's getting leaven out of your house, out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's stage number 2. That begins after salvation, by the way. You better get that.
Yep.
You don't reform your life and get junk out of your life first. Look, as a soul winner, I'm trying to get that guy lost. I'm sitting in his living room, or I'm talking to him on the street. I'm using sins in his life to get his attention.
Sure.
I'm mentioning things that he's guilty of. They're all guilty
of. You can't. Until you realize you're lost, you don't find you don't get the directions to be able to be saved.
The hardest people to reach are those who are kind of, nobody's perfect, but I mean, people who don't seem to have a lot of, they don't drink.
Religiously religiously moral people are the hardest people to win.
Somebody that's got a lot of issues and sin in his life.
They know they have. Man, so you don't have to do much to
come. Yeah. It don't take long to convince that fella he needs Jesus. But you know what? So does the other guy that doesn't have
that
junk. Because everyone's got sin in them. Everyone.
All have sin and come short of the glory of God.
And so the journey begins on our calendar with salvation. And Christ came, and by the way, Christ, this was a prophecy fulfilled that was prophesied throughout the Bible, all the way back to Genesis 3:15.
Absolutely.
That Christ would come, he would bruise, Satan would bruise his heel would bruise Satan's head.
And that's why Jesus died as our Passover lamb, to fulfill the day of Passover.
Yeah. So Passover, prophetically, has already been fulfilled. Christ fulfilled it on the cross. He fulfilled it beginning on the 10th of Nisan, what we call Palm Sunday, going down the hill. And he fulfills that. He presents himself as their Messiah for the first time. Right. He says it. I'm the Messiah.
Well, we're getting ready to come up to what's called Easter today. But anyway, Passover season as well as in Israel. But there are going to be a lot of people have Good Friday. But I'm here to tell you, it was a good Tuesday night, or it was a good Wednesday.
Yeah. It was Wednesday night, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Till Saturday night, 6 p.m. when he rose from the grave. Saturday night, 6 p.m. is Sunday.
Is Sunday, first day of the week.
It's confusing for us gringos, but in Israel, if you get on the elevator at 6 o'clock Friday night, the buttons don't work.
That's true.
Because that's the Sabbath. Don't. Friday night at 6 is Saturday.
Or at least the last time I was there, they didn't.
Yeah. And in 2017, that's how it was, which in my opinion is a little silly, but... They always take things a little too far.
Well, that was the problem in Jesus' ministry. They were all the time dealing with Jesus' ministry about his disciples by all of the little nuances they had added to the actual law.
So, seven feasts, all mentioned here, chapter 23, beginning in verse 5. That's feast number one. You might want to put a one there in your Bible. Seven feasts. These seven feasts revolve around three main harvests in Israel, the barley, the wheat, and the fruit. Mm-hmm. Those three harvests represent three parts to the resurrection. Remember now, the rapture is really not about us. The rapture is a resurrection of the bodies of the saints. Yeah. God's going to give them a new glorified body. But the fact that we're still in ours when the rapture happens, we go up, we go without dying. I mean, we get our new body immediately.
That's right. Well, that's why Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth about the subject we're talking about there, he didn't call it the rapture. He called it a change.
Yeah, we should all be changed.
This mortal must put on immortality.
Yeah. And so, feast number two, unleavened bread. That's the process where you begin to get the junk out of your life, the rotten music and some of the bad friends and some of the language that comes out of your mouth. That's the growth and grace. That's the discipling and you wanting to walk with God and get to know God and your life begins to change. That's the unleavened bread. So put a two there by number six. By the way, that was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. They put him in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. For 7 days, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. During that feast, Christ fulfilled it by going to the tomb and proving that there was no leaven in his body, no sin in his body, no corruption. Feast number three is down here in verse 10. And talks about the harvest, talks about you bring in a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest unto the priest. Put a three there. That's the Feast of First Fruits. And that's when Jesus wrote, he fulfilled that by rising from the dead on that exact day, that exact moment, 6 p.m. Saturday night, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And by the way, so these first three are all fulfilled, Doc, already fulfilled. Still many lessons there for us to apply to our lives. Then you'll go all the way down to verse 16, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. Seventh Sabbath is 49 days.
49 days.
Yep, seven weeks, 49 days. This is Pentecost. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. This will be during the wheat harvest. And this is feast number four. So put a number four there next to verse 16.
So these four have been fulfilled.
Yep. Christ fulfilled that already because he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. Yep. And he empowers the church on that day.
He'd already breathed on the disciples, said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But this is where they get their full empowerment.
Yep. And then, so those four have all been fulfilled during Christ's lifetime.
In his first coming.
Now you go all the way over here to verse 24. Not much time, so we got to move a little faster here. But verse 24, put a five there. This is the Feast of Trumpets. We call it Rosh Hashanah. Feast of Trumpets. This is the blowing of trumpets, and it's a holy convocation or holy assembly. And this is the new moon in the fall that you hear us talk about all the time. This is Feast of Trumpets. This is either September, October on our calendar, but it's always the first day of the month of Tishri for Israel. And it's the Feast of Trumpets. It's their new year. And I believe that that's the creation day. I believe creation began on that day at exactly 6 p.m. in Genesis chapter 1. But that's for another story. That's another day there. That's another week.
But that's creation is another time clock as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the blowing of trumpets, I believe that. Now, this one has not been fulfilled. There's three feasts left, 5, 6, and 7. 5 is, I believe, prophetic of the rapture. Now, does that mean the rapture will happen on that new moon in the sky? I can't be dogmatic and say so, but I think it will. But I don't know. All the others happened right to the day.
I kind of like every month looking for the new moon.
Yeah. So. You know, these first four all were fulfilled exactly to the day of the feast. Now, wouldn't these last three be fulfilled? I believe they will. But can you be
in relationship to his second coming?
Can you be dogmatic about that? Probably not. But it sure looks to me like
a pattern.
I think he's coming on a new moon in the fall at the rapture. That's my personal opinion. And the sixth feast, verse 27, Also in the 10th day, now by the way, these last three feasts are all in the same month, the month of Tishri, yes. And they're all 15 days from one another. Mm-hmm. These last three feasts all happen in the fall, beginning on day one in the fall, on the new moon on the Jewish calendar, not our calendar, the Jewish calendar. The new moon in the sky in the fall, the month of Tishri, would be Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, figurative of prophetic of the rapture. The second feast number six would be the 10th day of that same month, which is the Day of Atonement. That's Yom Kippur. We call it Yom Kippur, or the Jews do. It's the Day of Atonement. It's that day once a year when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer sacrifice. It's their most holy day of the year, yes. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. I believe that's prophetic of Christ coming back on the white horse at his second advent, at the second coming, if you want to call it that. So the second coming is in two phases, the rapture, and then him coming 7 years right. later. I believe the rapture happens on Feast of Trumpets. I believe 7 years later, or 2,520 days later, he comes back on the white horse on day 10 of the month of Tishri. And so I believe we can probably take that to the bank.
And we'll tabernacle with him.
Yeah, and that's number seven. And that's all the way down here in verse 34, the Feast of Tabernacles. Put a number seven there next to verse 34, Feast of Tabernacles. That's where God wants to tabernacle with man. That yes. means to dwell with. And that's, by the way, Feast of Tabernacles is what all the other six are about.
And that's what Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. My Father's house are many mansions.
God saved me because he wants to tabernacle. He yeah. wants to fellowship with me. That's what Passover is about. God wants to tabernacle with me. That's what unleavened bread's about. He wants me to be clean
yes.
to tabernacle with him. That's what first fruits is all about, getting into the church because God wants to meet with me there. That's what Pentecost is all about. That's what all these feasts have to do with my relationship with God, and it ends with Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes. And that's why we often say everything about the Old Testament law, everything that took place at the tabernacle, is all a picture and a type fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
So this is a prophetic calendar. The first four feasts have already been fulfilled. The last three feasts are still prophetic and they're hanging out there. Now, do you see why you need to study this and really put your heart into this? This is a calendar explaining the end time events to you. I'm not saying you're going to guess necessarily the year or what or even the month, but his clock is here and it's ticking. And we're near the end of the 6,000th year. We're very close, very close. It could be this year. It could be next fall. But it's coming, and it's coming soon. You cannot deny that. The Amen. Lord is coming. Are you ready to meet him? Have you been saved? Has your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you trusted in Christ to save you and wash you from all your sins? If you need any help with that, contact us. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah. And the website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, yeah. whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide, on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word of God.
That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Welcome, everybody. Prophet in the Spotlight here. As you can see, we're outside of our studio again. But we are going to be taking you to Shepherdsville, Kentucky, to a conference I was at. And I did an interview with Brother Bill Delperdange. It's hard to say his name. It's D-E-L-P-E-R-D-A-N-G-E. Delperdange. We'll get that up so you can see it. He interviewed me for a show on his YouTube channel. And we decided it was so good, we decided it needed to be on television. So we're going to play it here. We're going to take you there in just a second. And I think you're going to enjoy this. We talked about Israel and what's going on over there, what this war could mean, what this could lead to. And we talked about a little bit about the seven seal book and Revelation. We talked about a lot of things. And so don't miss it. It's coming up in just a second. But before that, let me say this. If you're watching last week, you heard us say that this would be our final week, the 27th of October, on CTN, Christian Television Network. We have since prayed some more about this and begged God for his leading here and had several calls from people who were concerned that they wouldn't, you know, they didn't want us to leave CTN. So what we're going to do is we're going to stay for possibly another month here. And we need you to help us. We need some of you out there who are not partners with us yet, not financial givers. We need you to step up to the plate if you can and become a partner with us. Go to the website. You can donate right there. It's real easy. There's two or three different donate buttons for you. You can send a check. You can call the 800 number, 888-505-SPOT, and talk to the ladies and find out how to give. Real simple. They'll take your credit card over the phone. We're burdened about this. We don't want to lose CTN if we can help it. But taking on pray.com like we are, it may have even be already started by the time this airs, or it may be coming up this coming Wednesday. We're going to pray.com. It's going to be on Wednesdays and at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's how you find us. It's an app that comes on your phone, iPad, you know, tablet, whatever. Okay, so we need some of you to step up to the plate. We're going to try to keep this going for another month on CTN. But we need some of you. We need somebody to give us a big jump here. Okay, we need somebody to give 5,000. We really do. Okay, we're going to go to the show. You're going to love the show, and so let's go there right now.
All right. So there's a lot going on in Israel right now, and I know that you keep up with the events in the Middle East and prophecy and all that. So I just was wondering, you know, what your thoughts on it were, just anything in general.
Okay. All right. I actually did a couple of shows on this.
Okay.
I have been telling people on my show for months now that Ezekiel 38 is hanging in the balance.
Okay.
I mean, they could be headed down there right now while we're talking.
You're talking Gog and Magog, battle.
Ezekiel 38, 39, you know, Ezekiel, there's some other countries involved, but Ezekiel is the one everybody talks about. They're the bear from the north. There's no doubt about it. And Meshach and all that, you know, it's Moscow. It's Russia. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not be Putin. He could die tomorrow.
Right.
But if it happens while Putin's alive and he's still in charge, Putin is the guy
that's going.
Right.
Now, here's what led up to this, and we'll bring us all the way back to the war that's going on now and fit it all together. But several months ago, and we talked about this on our show, several months ago, Mr. Putin made a statement, and it was carried on some news, you know. Sadly, we don't get a lot of news about Russia.
Yeah.
Because our country has cut them off because they don't want us to hear the other side.
Right.
The sad thing is I don't trust our guys. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
I'm a patriot. I served in the Navy for 4 years. You was in the Army, I
think.
Air Force.
Yeah. 22 years.
Yeah. I'm a patriot. I love my country. But isn't it sad that you can't believe most of what we're being told?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And so Mr. Putin made a statement. He said, the Golan Heights belongs to Israel.
Mm.
Now think about that. Why did he say that? Why did he make that statement? Now, did I say that right? Golan Heights belongs to Syria.
Oh, okay.
I said Israel.
Yeah, it's Syria.
Mr. Putin said the Golan Heights belongs to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did he say that? Because he's in Syria.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Syria doesn't have really much leadership. You know, it's one of them countries that just floating right now. Mr. Putin is there. He has warships there. He has airplanes right on the border of Israel.
Right.
By the way, Israel's the prize.
Yes.
Everybody wants Israel.
Yeah. There's more particularly wealth. Jerusalem.
Yeah. There's more wealth there than any place in the world. It's the center of the world.
Yeah.
It's the time clock. It's when God talks about time and coming to the earth, he's coming to Jerusalem.
Yes.
The second coming, he's coming on a white horse, coming to after Mount he fights the Battle of Armageddon. Mm-hmm. He'll come straight to the Mount of Olives and then into the city. And I don't believe he's going to use the Antichrist temple. I believe there'll be something set up there. But I don't believe the Temple Mount is the right place anyway. But that's for another day. And I'm not a I'm not an expert on that.
Yeah.
But I've read and Dr. Hilterbill is actually one of the guys that believes that that's not the right place.
Right.
And I trust his judgment. Mm-hmm. But I'm not strong on it where I could write a thesis on it.
Right.
He's not the only one. There's some other good men that I've talked to that believe the temple's down the hill in the city of David is where Solomon's temple was.
Okay.
But I don't think that matters. I think they're going to build this temple up there on that Temple Mount.
Right.
But it's the Antichrist temple. Who cares?
Right.
And but back to Mr. Putin. He makes the statement, the Golan Heights belongs to Syria because he's in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
He's got interest in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And he plans eventually to go walk into Israel, take Israel. Thinks it'll be a piece of cake.
Yeah.
By the way, that mountain, the Golan Heights, here's what people need to realize. The Golan Heights is the mountains of the north that's mentioned in Ezekiel 38.
Mm-hmm.
The very place where the bear from the north is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but most of them. I think 80% or something. They're going to suffer a great defeat in those mountains. And, you know, God's going to do it. But how does God usually do stuff like that? He uses men and armies.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I think the Antichrist is the one that's going to save Israel.
Okay, maybe.
I can't prove all this. There's a lot of speculation. God doesn't tell us everything. But here's how I see this happening. And the fact that Israel's at war right now is just speeding it up even more. But because Israel's right now, they've already bombed Damascus.
Yes.
And I think the airport. But I'm kind of out of the loop at the moment. I'm not sure. The last couple of days, I don't know. Maybe they bombed Washington, D.C. I don't know. That could be a good thing. But I'm joking. But I think. Israel's also got Iran on the hook there.
Yes.
Iran's financing this thing. Their day's coming. And Iran and Russia are friends. They're allies in Syria. And so this gives Russia an excuse. You've attacked my ally. We're coming down. We're going to take the Golan Heights. By the way, I don't know if people realize this. The Golan Heights is a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It overlooks Israel.
Yes.
What a strategic, the Civil War, they talked about the high ground.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be as important in modern days as it was with black powder rifles, but there was something about the high ground.
There's still strategic advantage. Yeah.
From that mountain, you can see most of Israel. I mean, it's there. And I doubt very seriously that even the Iron Dome and some of the, I doubt that they could take out most of the missiles that close. That's why the Gaza Strip is so important. Mm-hmm. They need that buffer zone. So when the missiles come in, they have time to take them out before they get there.
Right.
From that mountain, the Golan Heights, it would be devastating if Russia took that or some other country took that.
It would be an open door into Israel.
If they set up missiles there, first of all, Israel, I don't see them letting that happen without a fight. Mm-hmm. But, because that'd be suicide. Once they get the missiles there, you're dead. Mm-hmm. They're going to take you out. And so I can see these pieces falling into place. That's and by the way, look, what's Russia got to lose? Look at them. The war in Ukraine was started by America. Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris and others talking. Remember they were talking about Ukraine needs to join NATO.
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember back in the 60s, this thing called the Bay of Pigs and all that?
Yeah.
Remember Russia was headed to Cuba with missiles? They're going to set up missiles in Cuba.
Yep.
John JFK is the president. He said, nope, not on my watch.
Mm-hmm.
I know a preacher that was on one of them tin cans.
Okay.
That was headed there to cut them off, wondering, you know, are we gonna be alive tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
World War III almost happened right there.
Yeah.
But Russia blinked. Mm-hmm. We set up a blockade. Our country said, we're not letting missiles in 100 miles from our border.
Right.
We were right about that. Mm-hmm. Why would we be okay with missiles on the border of Russia? Why would Russia be okay? They wouldn't be okay.
Right.
Russia's doing that. I'm not a fan of Russia. I'm not a fan of Mr. Putin. But I do understand strategy.
Yeah.
I understand why Russia wouldn't want NATO missiles on mm-hmm. their border.
Right, Ukraine. Right.
And we wouldn't want Russia's stuff on our border.
Yeah.
We wouldn't let, if Russia said, we're taking over Mexico, we're going to put missiles on the border of New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't stand, I hope we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't stand, because you can't defend against that. I mean, minutes, you know, they hit their target.
Yeah.
Right now, we got time to take out some of the missiles. But so all this, you put all this together, and what do you got? You got the bear that's being poked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talk about poking the bear. You poke a bear, that bear's gonna, he's backed up against the wall. Look, he's been accused of everything. He's been accused of voter fraud. He's mm-hmm. been accused of trying, you know, fighting the elections here in this country. I doubt very seriously he did any of that.
Right.
And the truth is our own government did this.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, so if you're Mr. Putin, what do you do? There's a war in Ukraine that America started. Mm-hmm. We're funneling money in there, weapons, F-16. Who knows if we've even got people undercover fighting?
Right,
that war.
Very possible.
Yeah, in Black fact, ops. Very probable. Very
yeah,
probable.
Black ops.
And Russia knows that. And yet, so what do you do if you're Russia? You just, you know, you're up there where it gets cold. I mean, they got no food. It's cold. And eventually you just say, you know what? I'm not taking this anymore. Where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
You go to the Golan Heights and take it. And you just decide, I'm going to take Israel.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to stop that. We know that because mm-hmm. we've read the last chapter. God tells us what happens. They're going to die in the mountains. They're going to burn the weapons for 7 years. Now,
I was going to ask you about that.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I don't know what kind of weapon that is.
Well, a lot of people try and equate Gog and Magog to the end of the millennial reign.
Right. No.
Because it's mentioning those same locations, but it can't be. And that's...
No. And I talked to Doc about this, and because he's good at some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Doc is my partner. And I said, Doc, can those weapons be burning during the millennium?
Mm.
He says, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Now think about this. Christ is going to come. He's going to set up the kingdom. Mm-hmm. He's going to rule from Jerusalem. I believe the Bible talks about the millennial temple or whatever mm-hmm. that's going to be there, whatever it is. He's going to look out his window and see smoke rising. I don't think so.
No.
So I think Doc's right.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be burning those weapons. Isn't it also interesting? 7 years.
Yes.
Burning weapons.
Yep.
The tribulation is 7 years. Is there a clue there?
Coincidence. Absolute coincidence.
Yeah, coincidence. In fact,
yeah, no,
the Jewish rabbis, the old Jewish sages will tell you there is no word in the Hebrew Bible for coincidence. They don't believe in coincidence.
Yeah, there's no such thing.
Yeah. So I think, now this is speculation again. I think Israel has got to do what it's got to do. They're already dealing with Gaza. I think they got to deal with these other countries. I think Iran's got to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is funding this thing, mm-hmm. and death to Israel. If they could press a button and all Jews in the world would be dead, they'd have done it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's, they hate them, and us too. We're the great Satan. There's some truth to that, by the way. We're the pornography capital of the world, mm-hmm. America.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of evil come from America.
Yes.
And again, I'm a patriot, but this isn't the country of the 50s anymore.
No.
You look at old pictures, old films of how people dressed and mm-hmm. how they lived. The old Leave It to Beaver show, mm-hmm. wasn't that 60s? The 60s?
I think it was 60s, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't 70s, so it's... they came to dinner. He had a suit, had a jacket and a tie on.
Yeah.
Came to dinner. In the morning, he'd kiss his wife, dressed very modestly, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. He'd kiss his wife, go out. He went to work. She stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's frowned upon. Now they,
oh, yeah.
That's racial. That's not right. And us women, you know, we've destroyed our homes.
Yeah.
We got men and women both working. And now it's been drilled into our head that you can't make it on one salary.
Yep.
We've been brainwashed to thinking that the husband and wife both have to work or you can't make it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't make it if you're going to have a new boat, exactly. A new car, new house, and you're going to build a garage, and maybe we'll get an airplane. I mean.
Yeah. It's the lifestyle they're choosing. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah. And we've been pushed into this. It's now accepted, and it's life now. We're mm-hmm. you know. And the wife's supposed to, she's got a career, he's got a career. Sometimes her career overcomes his, and it causes a lot of problems.
Yes.
But the old Leave It to Beaver show,
mm-hmm.
it was not looked down upon. That was life. That was the life. That was the good life.
Mm-hmm.
They had a car. They had a house.
Yep.
They had money for college for the kids as they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the names, but the older boy. Those boys are still alive. Him now in NLC.
Wally, I think.
Yeah. It was a different life then. And
yeah.
these were middle-class people. These weren't the rich. These were middle-class families.
Right.
Now, sure, there were poor people, just like there always is. Jesus mm-hmm. said, the poor you'll always have.
Yes.
But life was different in our country then. And I don't know where we were going with all that. But,
well, we were talking about Israel and Russia, but
yeah.
But just life has changed, and you're absolutely right.
And so... And so here we have Russia being pushed up against the wall. I'm serious about that. Everybody, I mean, Lindsey Graham and the warmongers of the Republican Party as well, and wanting to keep sending money over there and try to keep hitting Mr. Putin and
mm-hmm.
provoke the bear to just lash back.
Yeah.
And they may. And by the way, I mean, doesn't he have a right to defend himself?
Absolutely. Now, I've heard that there might even be another incentive for him to do it, too. What's your opinion on it? Maybe you've never even heard of this. I don't know. But I've heard that Europe basically has two sources of natural gas. One is the Ukraine. The other is Israel.
Israel. I do know about that.
Yeah.
And this is recent. Israel is struck it big. And they're able to provide Europe's gas instead of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia's... I mean, that's their livelihood. Oil and gas is Russia's livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, didn't we blow up his pipeline?
We may have. There was a pipeline that blew up over there.
I think our fingerprints are on that. No one's going to admit that to us.
Yeah.
But it wasn't him. They said, "Oh, he did it himself." You got to be kidding me. You got to be people. That's stupid.
Slit his own throat.
Yeah. I blew up my own bank with all my money in it. Yeah. It's for the cause. That took some sophistication
yeah.
and some doing, and we're good at that kind of stuff. And we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Israel has gas, and we've done some shows on that as well, Doc and I, and have talked about some of the heated arguments that they're having, because they want to supply this natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Israel's an amazing country.
Yeah.
The wealth.
Yeah.
That's underground there. And
almost as if God had done that.
Yeah. They say under the Dead Sea, they said there's more wealth and minerals and diamonds and gems. I mean, then they said if you could just figure out how to get it, and they probably have figured out how to get it out mm-hmm. by now. But so Russia's pushed against the wall. America, of course, our whole country is in bed with Ukraine. Mm-hmm. The Biden crime family, yes. Pelosi, mm-hmm. probably some of the Democrat Republicans too, have made money over there. Remember the phone call that Mr. Trump got impeached on? The phone call.
Mm-hmm.
It was Zelensky on the other end of the line.
Right.
The guy who's there now, the actor.
Yes, yes.
And he was the guy.
The president and became one.
He was on the other end of the line. He was the new president there.
Yes.
And Trump simply said, you know, you need to investigate this stuff. Something's going on over there. And he was like, of course he needs to investigate it. And we need to investigate it. Mm-hmm. He was impeached over that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we, you know, facts all come out. All this stuff, the Russia gate, all that stuff. It's all a big lie.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're still here and they're still bringing indictments against this man.
Yeah.
They're trying to destroy him because they hate him and they hate what he stands for.
Yeah.
So here we are. Russia's pushed up against the wall. America, you know, they're being lied about, and they're being pushed, and they're gonna lash out. And they may lash out at us, and there could be war.
Yeah,
but it's very possible that his next move is to take his army and go to the mountains of the north, the Golan Heights. He's already got mm-hmm. ships and stuff there. That could be the beginning of Ezekiel 38.
Could be.
And here's my theory, brother. And again, a lot of speculation.
Right.
God doesn't tell us all the nuts and bolts of mm-hmm. how it all happened. But there are people, and you may disagree with me here, there are people, good people, who believe there's a gap at the rapture. They believe the rapture happens, and then the tribulation doesn't start. Some people say, one guy, a well-known guy that I know that's written books, believes that there's 5 months or more. In fact, he says the rapture of the tribulation begins at the fifth seal. And I say, that's absolutely impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a guy that doesn't understand what the seven seal book right. is of Revelation 5. If you don't understand that book, the seven seal book, mm-hmm. in the right hand of he that sits on the throne, you'll never understand chapter 6 or chapter 19, because that is the opening of the seals for the tribulation period. It's God taking back what was originally his, the planet. Right. And that's what that is.
I've heard it called the title deed for the earth.
That is what I call it.
Yes.
The seven seal book, the title deed to planet earth. See, Adam was given dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Note that word.
Yes.
And that's in the Bible.
Just control, not ownership.
Yeah. Dominion. Now, the word dominion literally means authority and power. God gave Adam authority over everything. But mm-hmm. it means more than that. And this is something I just learned. This is Webster's 1820 dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a show on dominion before, and I missed this one little tidbit. I looked at the definition again, and I read it again, and something jumped on it that I didn't see the first time.
Okay.
And it's this. It's not only authority and power, but it's authority without any, what's the word?
Oversight?
Yeah. But there's another word I use, and I can never remember it. Accountability.
Okay.
No accountability. Now, what does that make you think with this dominion? Where have we heard dominion in the last few years?
Dominion theology.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about elections.
Okay. The machines.
The dominion voting machine.
No accountability.
You even mentioned something about, and they'll have their lawyers and they'll hand you this piece of paper and you're on notice. You know, you cannot say that. People are being sued. Fox News was sued. They paid out millions of dollars, fired mm-hmm. Tucker Carlson, supposedly. That's what's this about the Dominion voting machines?
Mm-hmm.
No accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can look. No one can look at the machines. No one can get inside them. Nobody can test them. They have no accountability.
Yeah.
It goes back to, see, it's all about a kingdom. God gave the kingdom to Adam. Adam forfeited that kingdom when he sinned. I realize Eve sinned too, mm-hmm. but the bloodline comes through the man.
Right.
Eve could have died, and God could have made another woman,
mm-hmm.
And Adam would have still been sinless,
mm-hmm.
and the bloodline would have been fine. But they both sinned, and I believe there's a love story there. I believe Adam died to save his wife.
Yeah,
and they died, and they fell together.
Yeah,
and that's why Jesus.
The woman was deceived, but the man was in transgression.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the woman was, she was tricked. She believed what Satan had told her, had God said, and believed that you know, the word was not right, the word of God. You know, mm-hmm. It all goes back to the Bible. Mm-hmm. have God said, did God really say that? Is that really true?
Question God, then added to God's word when she added to it. And, you know, then flat out denied.
I think Adam might have told her that. I think Adam might have.
I think so, too.
Because here's another interesting tidbit that's in my KJV book. Eve was not there. She was not created yet.
Right.
God told Adam not to eat of that tree.
That's true.
Adam told Eve not to eat
of Most likely. We have no record of it, but that makes sense.
And he might have said, you know what? Don't go near that tree.
Yeah.
In fact, honey, don't even look at it. Don't even go near it. Stay away from it.
Isn't that what husbands do?
Yeah. Hey, don't get in the hammer land on the highway, honey. You know, don't take that road. Take the back road.
Yeah.
We don't want to get scratches on the car. So.
Yep.
So dominion. It's all about a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom of God. God gave it to Adam. Adam forfeited it when he sinned. Yep. Satan's the god of this world.
Yes.
And in Luke 4, you see the story where Christ is on the scene. He's fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. He's weak.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan comes at his weak moment, offering, you know, I think three temptations or something.
Yes, three.
One of them, the one that goes with our story here, is takes him up to a high pinnacle, shows him the kingdoms of the world. And he says, all this will I give you if you'll just bow down and worship me. And we, us preachers, have always said, he just offered Jesus what he already owns. No, that's not true. That was a valid offer.
It was.
Satan is the god of the world.
Yes.
He did receive the forfeited planet, the title deed. And I look at it like this, and this is the book of Ruth right here. The earth is also under the curse. When man sinned, his body's going to die. Death has come. Satan is cursed. The woman is cursed in childbirthing. Man has now got to work by the sweat of his brow, but he also cursed the earth, thorns and stubble, and you got to work to till the ground. And Romans tells us the whole world groaneth in travail, awaiting the redemption. So the kingdom needs, if Christ is going to come back and set up the kingdom age, he's got to get to take back possession of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to ask preachers, why doesn't God just take us home at the rapture and set up the kingdom? Well, why the tribulation? I didn't understand it. I understand it now.
Right.
And I understand it because I know what that book is, the seven seal book.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just take it. It's under a curse. It's like the book of Ruth. To redeem Naomi's property, you don't just say, well, yep, I want it. Give it to me. You know, it's got to be, there's a price to pay.
Yeah.
There's a price to pay to redeem the planet. And Christ is going to do that during the tribulation. That's the opening. John cries up there.
Mm-hmm.
When I do a PowerPoint on this, I'll make the point. He begins to weep in heaven.
Yeah.
I think he's just there in his mind. But I mean, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
Mm-hmm. Cricket, nothing. Yeah. Suddenly, and John begins to cry. How come? Because he knows what that book is.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us Baptists don't know. He knew what it was. That's the title deed of the planet.
Well, that was awesome, man. By the way, there'll be a part two coming because we went another 25, 30 minutes on that, and you've only got half of it. We're probably going to give you some more clips out of that in a future show. Hey, pray for us. Call the 800 number. Help if you can. And listen, we're at the end of this thing. Let's give it all we got. Let's keep this on the air. Let's keep us on CTN if we can, okay? Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.